1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. The U.S. could have a big problem paying its bills if a deal isn't reached to raise the debt ceiling. White House correspondent Ed O'Keefe on what both sides want.
The president and Republican leaders are seeking potential areas of compromise, including permitting changes for domestic energy projects and clawing back some unspent federal COVID relief money. Another possibility, adding stricter work requirements to social safety net programs, particularly upsets Mr. Biden's progressive allies. But Republicans aren't prepared to budge.
We're learning more about a mass shooting in Farmington, New Mexico, where an 18-year-old went on a rampage through a neighborhood, killing three women.
Farmington police say the first shots came at 10:56 a.m. At 11:02, police found the suspect. They fired 16 total rounds, the suspect well over 100. Officers say at least one of the three guns was purchased legally.
The suspect was shot and killed by police. A Democrat has some harsh words for her Republican colleagues in Congress.
Texas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett blasted Republicans on the House floor about their efforts to combat crime while allowing George Santos to keep his seat.
What I don't want to hear is that they care about crime, because if they did, they would start by cleaning up our own house.
Santos was indicted on 13 federal crimes last week. House Democrats have moved to force a vote on his expulsion, and Republican leaders may be on board. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
Black people have suffered more deaths over the last 20 years than white people. Medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder with more on a new study.
Between 1999 and 2020, there were 80 million years of life that were lost among black people versus white people.
Traveling between the U.S. and Canada and your electric vehicle needs a charge? The first binational EV corridor is coming. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
This is the first cross-border electric vehicle corridor of its kind. It will allow seamless international travel between Michigan and Canada, accidental or otherwise, with abundant charging options throughout your journey.
It will stretch almost 900 miles from Kalamazoo, Michigan, to Quebec City. History has been made in Philadelphia. Voters have chosen Sherelle Parker as their Democratic nominee for mayor. If she wins, she would become the city's 100th mayor and the first woman to serve in the role. Democrats also managed to hold on to the Pennsylvania State House as Heather Boyd was projected to keep the suburban Philadelphia seat. That one is critical for Democrats trying to protect abortion rights. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're starting to speak another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
Babbel.
Babbel. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
This is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst. Every year, investors lose money because they trade on emotions and hearsay instead of data. But there's a solution. StockCharts.com, the leading online charting tool that experts and disciplined traders have used for over 20 years. You can do the same. Go to StockCharts.com for a free 30-day trial. Pick the stocks and indexes you want to track, review historical data, spot the trends, then make informed decisions and invest with confidence. Go to StockCharts.com and start your free trial today.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, May 17th. The South Central Library System Board of Trustees will meet at 12:15 at the SCLS headquarters in Madison. In Wood County, the McMillan Memorial Library Board of Trustees will meet at 5 p.m. in the McCourt Conference Room in Wisconsin Rapids. The Portage County Healthcare Center Committee will meet at 5 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. The Stevens Point Special Police and Fire Commission will meet at 9 a.m. in the Community Room on Michigan Avenue. They will be discussing revisions to policies and procedures for the Police and Fire Commission. In Adams County, the Drainage Board will meet from 10 to 11 a.m. The Housing Authority will meet from 2:30 to 3:30. Family Storytime is back at McMillan Library on Wednesdays. Join in from 9:30 to 10 every Wednesday this summer. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 38 overnight under clear skies, east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs level off around 66. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, lows level off around 43. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Thursday, chance for scattered rain showers on Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 49.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Responsibility and gullibility. We must tell you, the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics. Please allow me to introduce myself. Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the magical Monday edition, the happier happy hour. Thank you to our most recent guest, John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times. If you missed them, you better find the podcast, civicmedia.us, under the Greatest Radio Show Ever tab, or look under the Devil's Advocates. You'll probably find it there. Dom, I don't know, and I do appreciate that story, and we're going to get to it in a moment. The fake electors in Wisconsin always like to see some consequences coming down the pike. So stay tuned for that. But Dom, I don't know if you watch the Succession show on HBO.
Succession. I do not. I'm aware of it, but no,
oh,
thank you.
Oh, man. Last night, Succession was sort of a compilation. They were doing like the America Decides edition. It's supposed to be election night.
All right.
And they're supposed to be effectively Fox News, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of this conglomeration of this, you know, really terrible conservative candidate who, you know, just seemed right on the edge of being like a fascist.
Oh, really?
And a more qualified Democratic candidate. And last night, there was a fire per this fictional show, Succession, a fire in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and the absentee votes burned, allowing the Fox News represented, you know, the ATN, as they call it in this Succession show, to declare Wisconsin effectively for the Trump-like candidate, the fascist. And it was fascinating, even how they made the calls. You know, well, if we call Arizona, then we're calling the election for the fascist, which they subsequently did. And there were a lot of people outraged online last night. I mean, this felt like a little too soon and a little too close to home, if you know what I'm saying, Dom. Almost a foreshadowing of what could come the next time around. Because it very easily could play like this. A network like Fox News trying to influence the outcome of the election, to muddy the outcome of the election, all it takes is a small irregularity, a polling place fire in Wisconsin, perhaps the destruction of 100,000 absentee ballots, and all of a sudden, you can recast the outcome in the state of Wisconsin. In hell, Dom, there were lots of Republicans willing to do just that. Anyone watch the Succession last night? Am I the only one having PTSD?
I mean, after viewing a couple of The Handmaid's Tale, all that seems a little too close to home these days.
844-967-2789. I mean, literally, this felt very much like it was playing out like a national electoral cycle that we've lived through a couple times. Like, right on the edge of chaos. Like, anything, any little factor could turn the election, and it doesn't even have to be real. It can be manufactured by those that desire the outcome in the election. You think, is it rigged? Maybe, but it's rigged by big business. They want the outcomes, and big media, and they are also down. We've talked about this recent CNN town hall. What the hell was that, right?
Yeah.
The CNN town hall. What, suddenly CNN, seeing that Tucker Carlson's off Fox News is going to steal some of their, what, conservative audience? They're currently being sued for defamation by Donald Trump. They brought the guy on with a no-holes-barred town hall. And not only that, Don, but they literally warmed up the crowd, but told them not to boo and not to be negative. They could only be positively asserting in their support of the candidate. CNN told them that. Can you see, I mean, I realize there are different circumstances happening than the fiction I watched last night on HBO. But I got to tell you, Dom, the truth has been way stranger than fiction. I've asked you a couple of times, what's the worst that could happen? I think it could be worse than that Succession episode last night. I'm just saying.
I mean, the chaos agent is there. We went through one round of this and in two elections, and we're going to go through another one in 2024 if the guy's not locked up prior to that. And it's yes, certainly the media thing. And while I understand the storyline of the show you to which you refer, CNN did it for money. They did it for the green, just the same reason Fox News did it. They did it for the green. They thought they could pick something up. And I disagree with it. I disagree with the format, certainly. When you tell a crowd that they can only cheer and they can't boo, you know, even if it's full of and they certainly gave her a hell of a time, Caitlin Collins. They weren't fans of her by the end of it. So Trump was able to roll this over. I mean, he rolled CNN over, man. That's just how it was. So, the good news is this isn't the first time around, man. We've been to this rodeo before, and I would hope, although I'm not convinced by CNN's most recent reaction here, that the media, quote unquote, would have learned from the last time around, but apparently CNN certainly has not.
Buddy, that was as bad as anything we saw in the 2016 elective cycle. The only thing they didn't make us do was wait with the podium shot.
Empty podium.
Right. Waiting for Trump to show up to entertain us, regale us with his invectives and his crazy thoughts. The only part I'm looking forward to, the only part in this whole elective cycle, and we are, I mean, if you don't know, folks, we are in the presidential election now. But the only part I'm looking forward to is the announcement that Ron DeSantis is a candidate when he joins Donald Trump on the stage. I'm just going to be predictive right now. He will be the next wanker. And I've said this a couple times. Ron DeSanctimonious is like a better hair, little thicker, and minus the Midwestern nasal twang, but he is Scott Walker. And he's even got a whiny, sort of bitchy little quality to his voice. I got to work on my DeSantis. But alternate, Brian Gage reporting. Ron DeSantis, what I really look forward to is when those two are on the stage, the chaos agent and Meatball Ron, and Trump gets out the chainsaw for Ron's knees or the baseball bat, which, you know, be careful what you say there, because
congressman's close to home as
district
well.
Office was attacked by a man welding a baseball bat, apparently someone who had filed a $29 million lawsuit against the CIA.
Or fourth dimensional torture.
So a real solid cat, but anyways, baseball bat, less deadly than an AR-15 at least. But anyways, back to Ron DeSanctimonious. Ron DeSantis insults students eyeing niche subjects. He wants the ban. Remember when Scott Walker talked about Wisconsin needs welders?
Yes.
I found this one originally at Alternet. Florida Governor Ron DeSanctimonious DeSantis is touting his support for legislation that was proposed in February, which Higher Ed Dive explained at the time would upend some of the longest standing conventions of American higher education. Again, he's messing with the colleges now and introduce an unprecedented degree of state control, like forcing institutions to abandon gender studies programs. House Bill 999, flip it up, it's 666, Dom, would ban state colleges and universities from using funds to promote, support, or maintain any programs or campus activities that espouse diversity, equity, or inclusion, or critical race theory rhetoric. The bill would also give the state's Board of Governors the ability to remove any major or minor that is based on or otherwise utilizes pedagogical mythology associated with critical theory. In a speech on Monday, DeSantis urged prospective college kids to leave the Sunshine State to pursue degrees that he abhors, and then warn them if they do, they're going to struggle to find a job. Hey, they should just all go be welders in Wisconsin, Dom. I'm going to do sort of a whiny Scott Walker. If you do things like gender ideology and go to Berkeley, go to some of these other places, that's fine. It's fine, DeSantis said to cheers. And there's nothing, if that's what you want to do there, there's nothing wrong with that per se. But for us, with our tax dollars, we want to focus on the classical mission of what university is supposed to be. We don't want to be diverted into a lot of these niche subjects that are highly politicized. We want to focus on the basics. And I think what you've seen is these types of majors and courses. First of all, how employable are you with some of these majors? I mean, really, it's a good academic choice in terms of being able to be employable. That's one of the reasons I think this whole student loan thing, universities should be on the hook for the student loans. If that were the case, they would make sure that their curriculum was really fit to be productive for the students that they graduate. I mean, this is so reminiscent of Scott Walker. I hear the echoes of the wanker. Just, I wish I could do the whiny bitch voice a little better. I'll get to you, DeSantis.
You have a fine whiny bitch voice, Crudy. You don't need to change a thing. 844-967-2789. Let's squeeze some callers in here. Dick from Madison, you'll be first. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Well, guys, you know how I think he would go away in a hurry, Trump, I'm talking about?
How?
You notice how fast this thing in Iowa got canceled when he found out there was virtually no one there.
I had heard that over the weekend. His event in Des Moines maybe drew 500, and they claimed there were tornado warnings that he didn't get on the plane. But Ron DeSanctimonious showed up in Iowa this weekend.
Right. So he gets his Sharpie out and shows this bad weather coming. But actually what it really was is there was nobody there. He's a nothing burger. He's gone. The media has got to stop. Every time he says, oh, I'm going to take a dump if he was to say, I'm going to take a dump to CNN in a porta potty, they'd be there to cover him. Why the hell should they go?
Well, we always know when he's taking a dump, Dick, because he's tweeting.
His mouth is moving.
Or he's sending out a social media post on the Truthy Social. But I told this story. I went to Des Moines, Iowa. It wasn't so many years ago.
No.
45,000 on a Saturday night for Donald Trump. And I've seen some big crowds. That is as big as any political crowd I've seen. And I realize it's 2023, but he's still Trump. He ain't done yet. DeSanctimonious, he won't be done until he comes to the stage in Milwaukee and gets chopped off at the knees like Ed Gein style.
Oh, God.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It's now open and ready to serve you. Find us at 1610 Lincoln Avenue in the BP gas station parking lot or call us at 262-278-6590.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home.
Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then,
this is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Mother's Day Monday to us all. Join us at 844-967-2789.
Dom, a little more coverage of Ron DeSantis in Iowa this weekend. Five things that went right for Ron. A tornado watch kept Donald Trump away from his planned rally in Iowa. Was that the problem?
Yeah, so
on Saturday.
Good story, and they're sticking to it.
And Ron DeSantis took full advantage, barnstorming the state in the former president's absence. Although Trump is trouncing DeSantis in the national polls, the gap isn't quite as massive in Iowa. If the Florida governor can convince Iowans he's a better bet to beat President Joe Biden and parlay that momentum into strong performances in New Hampshire, let's not forget, that's where the CNN town hall was with all the yahoos, New Hampshire. They seem pretty Trumpy to me, but I'll read on. South Carolina and Nevada, the current national polls may not matter that much. They will matter. Those are a lot of ifs. Yes, they are. But as DeSantis girds to take on Trump directly and to formally announce his candidacy in the coming weeks, he'll need to replicate that type of momentum he showed in the Hawkeye State on Saturday. Had one good game, Dom. Here are the five best things that he did well or went well for DeSantis on the campaign trail in Iowa. He did an adequate job at retail politics.
Great adequacy. Excellent adequacy.
Well, Dom, the bar was quite low headed into the day. For months, DeSantis had been the subject of news stories about his struggles connecting with voters on the stump, even his perceived aloofness when talking with donors. So he countered that narrative when he spent half an hour. 30 minutes, Dom?
Oh, my goodness. Really, really working the crowd on his feet.
At a classic car museum in Sioux City during a hamburger picnic, stopped into a pizza ranch, and then finished out the night standing on a table with his wife at Jethro's Barbecue. Now that man sounds presidential to me, Dom. Trump himself has sought to portray DeSantis as socially inept, and many of the former president's surrogates and conservative influencers who are supporting him spent the day posting unflattering photos of DeSantis in action. Moments where the Florida governor appeared uncomfortable in the crowd. DeSantis will never be mistaken for Bill Clinton while working the rope lines, but his own advisors have privately acknowledged that the flurry of coverage about his inadequacies on the stump have only made his initial attempts seem that much more adequate. No, successful.
He's not as bad as we portray him to be. Crudy, also from Politico, DeSantis showed dexterity, they claim. DeSantis capitalized on Trump's change in plans, rerouting his own travels to hold a last-minute meet-and-greet Saturday night at a barbecue restaurant not far from the location of Trump's canceled rally. Really, Trump canceled for a tornado, and there,
There DeSantis was. That's dexterity. DeSantis's team quickly kicked into gear as Trump announced that afternoon his rally wouldn't take place, the former president citing a tornado watch that was in effect until around the time he was set to take the stage. Despite a long list of logistics that had to be solved, making an unplanned flight from the state party fundraiser in Cedar Rapids to 120 miles west in Des Moines for a 15-minute stop at Jethro's BBQ, the decision was a quick one, according to a person familiar with the planning. Great job, staffers! By Saturday evening, DeSantis and his team were buoyed at the Trump rally cancellation, which kept the former president from receiving a night of headlines and live coverage as the Florida governor had national and Iowa media spotlight to himself. He and his wife, Casey, squeezed through a small opening in the crowd that had packed into the outdoor patio of the Des Moines restaurant, a mix of curious rib-eating customers, local activists, and a gaggle of reporters. The brief visit amounted to both a victory lap for DeSantis and a mockery of Trump's decision to cancel a rally for severe weather that didn't materialize in Des Moines. DeSantis' team took particular delight in a video posted and tweeted by Trump's campaign showing Trump staffers in Iowa knocking on the door of an elderly couple who are supporting his campaign effort in the Hawkeye State. The staffers presented the pair with several Trump ball caps and passed the phone to them to speak to Trump since he was unable to visit them in person. Republican strategists supporting DeSantis laughed at the scene that resembled a publisher's clearinghouse check presentation. Yeah, except the difference being you're getting actually money from publisher's clearinghouse instead of some crappy swag from the former orange guy.
Well, apparently DeSantis got all the FaceTime with the top GOP brass in Iowa Dom. DeSantis showed up at an annual fundraising picnic hosted by Rep. Randy Fenstra, Republican from Iowa in the northwestern part of the state. The Des Moines Register called the event a who's who of Iowa's top elected officials, a gathering where DeSantis flipped burgers alongside Governor Kim Reynolds, Senator Jody Ernst, Rep. Marionette Miller Meeks, and the Iowa Agricultural Secretary, Treasurer, Attorney General, and state legislators brushed shoulders with DeSantis, who a day earlier earned the endorsements of three dozen of the state house lawmakers. That night, DeSantis gave the keynote speech at the Republican Party of Iowa fundraiser in Cedar Rapids, and he and his wife sat on stage afterwards for a Q&A moderated by the GOP chair. The event where DeSantis spoke Saturday were much smaller than a Trump rally, even a poorly attended rally, but they did put him in the same rooms for extended period of time with high-profile Iowa Republican leaders. Even a small Trump rally is bigger than any of the rooms DeSantis was playing.
Curry, he suddenly drew a contrast with Trump. DeSantis never mentioned Trump's name during his speech at the Sioux Center. He didn't explicitly hit the man he'll have to take down if DeSantis is serious about securing the Republican nomination. But he did try to lean into some key differences with Trump, albeit implicitly, that DeSantis is likely to emphasize even more as the months go by. Days after Trump used a primetime town hall to double down on his false claim that the 2020 election was stolen from him, DeSantis in his speech cautioned Republicans against focusing during the next election on, quote, the past or on other side issues, unquote. DeSantis called for the GOP to reject the culture of losing that has infected our party in recent years and criticized candidates who believe governing is about entertaining or talking on social media. He also lambasted virtue signaling by those same politicians, something many critics of DeSantis would say he does quite frequently. After taking a shot after shot from Trump in recent months with little pushback, DeSantis on Saturday signaled he is preparing to go there, although his Trump offensive appears to still be in a slow rollout phase. Is that what it is? We're slowly rolling
out. It's a slow roll, Dom. It's a slow. It's a soft launch.
It is, yeah. Like the Devil's Advocates 12 years ago, man.
Come back with us. Nothing soft about this product. 844-967-2789.
From our little corner of the world where the pack, the crew.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back,
mad. I really miss him. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's your mind to Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's very important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Expanded rights for crime victims in Wisconsin will stay in place after a state Supreme Court ruling today, Terry Bell reports.
The High Court is ruling that an amendment to the state constitution was properly worded and legally adopted. The ruling overturns a Dane County judge's decision on what's known as Marcy's Law. The group bringing the original lawsuit argued the amendment infringes on the rights of criminal defendants by letting victims avoid interviews and evidence requests. They say the statewide ballot question should have mentioned that. But six of the seven justices say Wisconsin's amendment process does not require ballot descriptions to explain every potential consequence in order to be legal. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Harbor Freight in Wisconsin Rapids will open this summer. They are hiring for 25 to 30 new positions at the location on East Riverview Expressway in the old Shopko building. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows around 38 overnight under clear skies, east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs level off around 66 tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, lows level off around 43. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Thursday, chance for scattered rain showers on Friday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently it's 49.
Demanding sex from employee. Jeez. So that's the headline.
That's
the important
gross.
Part is coming, but let's start with the Rudy Giuliani accusations. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani was recorded demanding sex from an employee, a new lawsuit claims. A complaint filed in New York State Court on Monday, attorneys for Noelle Dunphy alleged Giuliani offered her employment for a salary of $1 million a year in 2019. At the time, Giuliani was serving as an attorney for then-President Donald Trump. Several of Giuliani's businesses are also named as defendants in the suit. The lawsuit says Giuliani told Dunphy that her employment must remain secret because he was going through an acrimonious divorce. Here's a quote, Dom. Unfortunately, Giuliani's seemingly generous offers were a sham motivated by his secret desire to pursue a sexual relationship with Miss Dunphy, in total disregard for the restraints that should have protected her as his employee and client. Attorneys for Dunphy state. He made clear that satisfying his sexual demands, which came virtually anytime, anywhere, was an absolute requirement for her employment and of his legal representation. So he hired her, and she was also a client, and he was demanding sex constantly. As this story reports, Tom, Giuliani allegedly drank alcohol and took Viagra constantly, the document states. The lawsuit claims that some of Giuliani's demands for sex were captured on recording. Here is the more important part, buried deep in this salacious article, Dom. Other allegations involve Giuliani conspiring with former President Trump to sell pardons for $2 million each.
What?
Yes! I mean, sure, the weird, sexy... Well, it's not weird. It's just the guy's a sexual predator, much like his former boss. I'm talking about Giuliani. But if she has Giuliani and Trump conspiring on tape to sell pardons, this shouldn't be a civil suit, although she is seeking $10 million in damages, Dom. And maybe she has a right to her pound of Giuliani flesh. But if the former president was conspiring with his legal counsel to sell pardons, that might be the worst conspiracy since the seditious conspiracy to overturn the outcome of the election.
Oh, my God.
This would be problematic, would it not?
Yes, somewhat problematic. And how are we finding out about this now? And I look forward to another investigation into Trump and Giuliani. Wow.
So anyways, it wasn't about Giuliani and, you know, the...
It was alcohol and Viagra problems.
The woman was roughly half his age. She is a pretty woman, Dom, but, you know, all women really should have the right to not be expected to service Giuliani at any time, any place.
Maybe he mistook her for, the movie he was caught pulling his pants down on, you know, this guy Borat. Apparently. All right, Borat.
844-967-2789. CJ. Is it problematic if the former president, Donald Trump, conspired with his legal counsel, apparently on recordings, as is alleged through a lawsuit? Is it problematic if he tried to sell pardons for $2 million apiece?
Not as troubling as the Durham report that's been released.
Where were the legal charges, buddy?
Oh, man.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Listen to this, guys. Listen
yeah, tell this. Me. Tell me all about it, CJ. Who's getting arrested?
Who's
getting arrested, CJ? Nobody's getting arrested, CJ.
You got nothing, CJ. The Mueller.
Oh, yeah.
The okay, Mueller report.
You guys are going to cut my mic off, but that's okay.
Not yet, man. Give us something more than nothing, CJ.
Let's talk about the Durham report, CJ. What was your big takeaway?
The cost of the Mueller investigations, your only takeaway?
Are you going to talk?
Yes, what's your takeaway of the Mueller report?
Waste of money. $25 million.
Sorry, the Durham report.
Half year waste of money. The Durham was $6 million. So we
it took
found
4 years,
out
dude.
The truth. Donald Trump was right. The Clinton campaign, it was a non-starter. And, you know, Merrick Garland released it without one word changed or redacted. So read the report.
The whole Mueller report, dude?
No, I'm talking about the Durham report. CJ, you still haven't told me. What's your big takeaway? What would you like to see? What was
the
big
criminality?
Yes. What's the deal, man? Tell me.
Have you ever listened to your news like John Nichols? He calls himself a journalist. What a joke.
I'm asking you, CJ. You got the mic right now. If you want me to hang up on you, tell me what your takeaway was. What was the takeaway?
That it was contrived. It was a hoax. There's not a word of truth in what was done.
In what you've just said, CJ.
That's absolutely true. Nice
buddy,
try,
I've,
CJ.
I've cut you off now, just for the rest of the audience, because they were begging for us to do so earlier. But CJ, you've really, if you're rolling out the Durham report, there was one failed prosecution, and that was it. The Mueller report sent like...
Well, there was one successful prosecution. It wasn't even by Durham. It was a guy who got probation for, what, editing the email. The
but
other
that
two that actually
part of
went
the
to
Durham
court.
Report. That wasn't even... Durham actually took a guy to court and lost. His only prosecution...
He took two
was,
people to court and lost.
Okay. Where were the criminality? Where were the successful prosecutions? If you look at the output of the Mueller report, there were a lot of successful prosecutions, CJ. Like 34 people went to prison. And then the president, your guy, Donald Trump, started pardoning people. And now it's being alleged in a lawsuit dropped today that he was selling those pardons, according to the plaintiff against Rudy Giuliani, for up to $2 million apiece.
CJ, the sauce is weak.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, how you doing, fella?
Hey, Mark.
Oh, doing just fine. I was doing better until CJ came on and started quoting his nonsense.
Well, he didn't
I
really.
Mean, you got
$25 million. He talked about the expense of the Mueller report. What's that got to do with the price of tea at China? You know what I mean? It's got nothing to do with anything.
Nothing to do with, you know, Trump selling allegedly selling pardons. Got Ron DeSantis comparing the Subway Strangler to the Good Samaritan. I mean. You know,
Ron DeSantis actually also is a JAG officer in Gitmo. Ron DeSantis has got a strange background in his own, and I would be willing to bet that Ron DeSantis would have a hell of a time trying to overcome some of those accusations against him as a young JAG officer, a lawyer, fighting against the rights of those detained in Gitmo.
It is just jaw-dropping that these guys can spout this stuff. I mean, that even a libertarian wouldn't compare the Strangler to the Subway, alleged Subway Strangler to the Good Samaritan. I mean, these guys are allowed to get away with. The media doesn't hammer them, you know, upside the head with some of the stuff that
they're
saying.
Do you see what Sean Duffy's wife had to say on this topic? Rachel Campos Duffy or whatever, she's a Fox News.
No.
She basically sang the praises of the vigilante and said, you know, we got a masculinity problem in this country. Every man should go and choke another man out on the subway if she feels threatened.
Well, so some Trumpster starts harassing people you're able to use deadly force against the Trumpster if you feel, I just felt threatened, so I'm able to do that.
Holy. You know that red-faced Derek Van Orden supporter was kind of scaring me a little bit. I thought I might have to use some force there for a moment, Mark.
It is just ridiculous that these guys claim to be such big masculine men, yet they're willing to take on the 98 pound. That guy was just a scrawny kid. For God's sake, I mean, the guy was no threat to anybody.
Mark, it's the same party, and appreciate your call and your listenership. It's the same party that supported Kyle Rittenhouse, right? I mean, Nikki McKenna, a right-wing talk radio host in the city of Madison, asked her audience, go get your bullets and get your ass, arm up and get your ass down to Kenosha. Go stand with Kyle Rittenhouse. They raised millions of dollars for this kid. He was acquitted at trial, although I don't know how. But if you've noticed, Mark, the Republican Party, they're all down, especially when the one that scared them is a black person. Notice how that almost always works?
Well, they're three black people, of course, Crudy. 844-967-2789.
Although I'm less clear that Kyle Rittenhouse's victims were black, but, you know, it was a Black Lives Matter protest per the accusations.
The Washington Post concludes on their story regarding the Durham report. And I'll just read a couple of paragraphs and back to the phones, 844-967-2789. Durham's report comes against a backdrop of two failed prosecutions. Igor Danchenko, a private researcher who was a primary source for the dossier of allegations about Trump's alleged ties to Russia, was acquitted in October of lying to the FBI about where he got his information. Durham personally argued much of the government's case in that trial in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia. Last year, a jury in D.C. federal court acquitted cybersecurity lawyer Michael Sussman, who Durham also charged with lying to the FBI. Former FBI lawyer Kevin Kleinsmith was sentenced to 1 year probation after admitting in a 2020 plea deal with Durham that he had altered a government document email to justify secret surveillance of a former Trump advisor, Carter Page. Report means Durham's time as special counsel is coming to an end, while two other special counsels continue, one to investigate Trump and people close to him for classified documents found at his home, as well as events leading up to the January 6, 2021 riots at the U.S. Capitol, and another to investigate President Biden and people close to him for classified documents found at his home and office, the Washington Post reports. So failed prosecutions on the Durham report. And no specific policy recommendations that I have heard or read yet. So there you go. A whole lot of nothing. And I would still want justice to release the unredacted Mueller report so we can see exactly who, what, where, when. And let's not forget, if Mueller could have said that Trump did not violate the law, he would have said so. And of course, because of the circumstances of that investigation and because of encrypted messaging that the Russians use, they couldn't get a hold of some of the Russians or some of the Trump people use. They could not find the information that was transmitted back and forth. But we do know Konstantin Kilimnik, a partner, a pal of Paul Manafort, who was Donald Trump's campaign manager, received specific polling data from the Trump campaign through Manafort to help the Russians in their campaign in the 2016 election.
Well, Dominic, just in case CJ is still listening, and I see him in the queue, here are a few of the rogues gallery from the Mueller report that was found guilty. They include Paul Manafort, George Papadopoulos, Richard Pineda, Alex Vanderswan, Roger Stone, Rick Gates, Michael Cohen. At the time of this article, those awaiting sentencing included Michael Flynn, 13 Russian nationals and entities, 12 Russian military intel officers, and Konstantin Kilimnik.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
So, Dom, I think there was some there. I thought it was 34 total convictions from the Mueller report. 34. I think that was the grand total. And you compare that to the Durham report, and it was zero convictions. So let's break it down. It's cost per conviction. How about we do it that way, CJ? $6 million? Your $6 million report got you zero convictions. And there are no ongoing allegations of criminality, just a partisan special counsel that was appointed by Trump and Bill Barr coming back 4 years later, almost to the date, with a big report saying they rushed the Russia, but they were deliberate with Hillary? That's your findings? Man, you better go back to Fox News and get some better talking points, CJ. Come back with us. Going back to the phones, 844-967-2789.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high-quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee public schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. And the most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. And you've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shying to me with, I don't know how I'd rule. I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment. But we're going to take some phone calls at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, do you know that the Republicans have misplaced a bunch of whistleblowers and witnesses?
Oh, man, how are they going to bring down the Biden crime family if they can't locate the witnesses?
Well, Comer went on Maria Bartiromo's show, and Maria Bartiromo, who once was a journalist, and she did take note of the fact... You've lost your witness? Your whistleblower has gone missing? And then Marjorie Taylor Greene has confirmed they've lost their whistleblowers. Dom, they are missing. Marjorie Taylor Greene confirms GOP has lost several Biden whistleblowers. Several. Misplaced them, Dom. Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican from Georgia, confirmed on Monday that Republicans were out of contact with all but one whistleblower, air quotes, in their investigation of President Joe Biden and his family. Green spoke to podcaster Steve Bannon. Now, he's convicted and pardoned. I wonder how much he had to pay for his.
Probably $2 million. He gets the family discount, like $1
million. Rep. James Comer, Republican from Kentucky, revealed on Fox News that at least one informant had been lost. Now, here's a quote from MTG, your girl. Old Marjorie Three Toes. Now the truth that I can tell everyone this morning is we have not lost the submarine. That whistleblower is very safe, but he does fear for his life, and rightfully so. While Green claimed that she was in contact with one whistleblower, up to 9 other witnesses were missing or unavailable. 9. You've lost 9 witnesses. The whistleblower came through us, thankfully, through the help of Senator Grassley. But other whistleblowers, yes, they are missing. They're either in court, they're in jail, or we cannot talk with them at this time because they can't be found. Very reliable sources all. I feel quite confident. And our investigation is so important, Steve, that this will bring down the president of the United States if we could only find our 9 or so lost witnesses. As described by MSNBC host Morning Joe Scarborough, that's beyond embarrassing. Beyond embarrassing. A little bit from Joe's coverage this morning. After watching a clip of the House Oversight Chair James Comer, Republican from Kentucky, admitting on Fox News Sunday that he had lost his key informant in his pursuit of President Joe Biden's family to a stunned Maria Bartiromo, the MSNBC Morning Joe panel reacted with a mixture of incredulity and laughter at his blundering efforts to date. After sharing the clip, Morning Joe host Joe Scarborough sat and laughed before referencing Tom Clancy's the hunt for Red October and smirking. So, comrade, you're telling me you've lost another submarine? That must be where Marjorie Taylor Greene's "we didn't lose the submarine" came from. I mean, come on, he continued. You lost an informant? You lost the informant? The guy you claimed gave you all this information that you built your entire charade on? Conservative shapeshifter Charlie Sykes, we know that guy, jumped in with another literary reference, adding, "Yeah, the hunt for the great white whale isn't going well, is it?" That'd be the great white.
The great white hope, Joe Biden?
No, the great white whale.
967-2789. Crudy, not only that, Aaron Rupar tweeting out today, Kudlow, he was interviewing, that's Larry Kudlow, he was interviewing Ron Johnson, and he was pressing the senator from Wisconsin about not having the goods on Joe Biden, and Johnson replies by making the case that the lack of evidence is actually evidence of Biden's criminality. He's just so good at it. What did he say last week, Rudy? You have to infer the criminality. You have to infer it. It's there. Trust me.
Like Moby Dick. It's out there somewhere. That and the Loch Ness Monster and Area 54. Or is it 51? Studio 54.
Come on. Yeah. Yeah, Studio 54, Area 51.
844-967-2789. Rico from Rock County. Take us home, Rico. What do you got for us?
Hey, Rico.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Awesome,
hey, Curdy,
man.
I just love your Curdy, I just love your analogy earlier of old Donnie taking the sanctimonious out at the knees. Got me to thinking, and I started doing a little, you know, back of the envelope math and everything. This might not be too bad for the old DeSantin. According to my calculations, he should be at optimal prime ass-kissing level at that point. He should be able to catch old Donnie anytime he wants. That's what he's going to do in the long run. We all
Optimus
know.
Prime?
That's...
Yes, he'll be perfect ass-kissing level.
Transformer? What are you talking about, Rico?
Well, you know, if...
After he takes him out at the knees.
That would be about ass kissing level. You know, Dom, that's how you feel standing up on.
Hey, don't be making short jokes now. I resemble that remark. 844-967-2789.
If you didn't know, I think Charlie Sykes was referencing Moby Dick.
I think the news of the day, the takeaway of the day, the allegation that former President Donald Trump and his attorney, Rudy Giuliani, were selling pardons for $2 million apiece.
Well, we don't know if they actually made the transactions then, but they were conspiring to sell pardons. And apparently there is a legal suit that has been filed, a lawsuit seeking damages, because Rudy also wanted the employee to service him sexually in any variety of ways. So she is suing for, I suppose, workplace violations. But part of the taping, along with Rudy propositioning her for sex at multiple times, was Rudy and the former president, according to the reporting I read from Alternet, conspiring to sell pardons for $2 million a crack. And Dom, after all the multiple convictions of the Mueller investigation, if you'll recall, Mike Flynn, he got a pardon. Steve Bannon, he got a pardon. A lot of those guys got pardons. That adds up to a lot of $2 million.
It certainly does. And apparently the plaintiff in this case has recordings of this. So if that's the case and that comes to bear fruit, I would imagine there will be yet another investigation into the former guy and his lawyers. What do they say? MAGA. Making attorneys get attorneys.
Hey, well done, everyone. You know who else got pardoned by Trump, if you'll recall? Jared Kushner's old man. Charles Kushner got pardoned by Trump.
What did Charles do? Didn't he set someone up on like a...
His own brother-in-law.
His own brother-in-law.
Like took a videotape and then I believe tried to extort him to like sign over some real estate stuff.
Wow,
Jared Kushner, ally pardoned by Trump, pleads guilty to attempting to spy on his ex-wife. That was another one of the pardons. I'm sure there were no dollars attached to that.
No, pardon. That's just the goodwill of the former guy.
Well, think about all the money they offset from the Mueller report. Trump collecting it $2 million at a time. Stick around. The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.